got it.
What is it?
Blog Talk Radio.
807.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
My name is... Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Party time. Let's go. What a day. Gotta get my tea ready.
Gentlemen. I think we got everyone on. Again, welcome to a Thursday edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Everyone's been adjusting schedules and whatnot, but again, we cannot rest if we cannot get a Talking Sports show in for you guys for this week, too. So Gary is my hero. He's got a nice glass of wine getting ready. I think we're going to get Curtis on and everything like that. My pup is excited, as you hear in the background, too. Rob is walking around getting his tea. JQ is coming, if you will, the goat, apparently, of the podcast, according to Gary. But while Rob is getting set, let me check in with you guys. I'll start with the West Coast. Gary, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing good. Busy day. Trying to keep up with all my training these managers are throwing at us. Thank you very much, managers. Talk to you, Rob.
We got to keep you working, man. We kind of keep you working.
Try to keep everything going.
We all need direction.
That's right. I definitely
take
do.
That.
Oh man. Well, I mean, just a gentle guidance, if you will, too. Hey, Curtis, did you jump on? Are you on, Curtis?
Yeah, I'm on.
How you doing?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I got to thank Gary. I think Gary got that warrant off my arrest. He had to step up, pay out some money.
I'm going to tell you guys the story of that, right?
Get me safe. Yes, so, I think he stepped up.
Gary coming through like a true brother.
Well, Chris had this. He had this car for sale, and he sold it, and we got him a mobility van. Well, I'm the one that is trained to drive it for him and stuff, so I drive it. And he's talking about getting this ticket. I had no idea that I got this ticket. We were thinking it's this guy that bought this car, this Honda, from him. So we're trying to figure that out. So he gets a thing in the mail, and it's a picture of me going through the, I don't know, going, what was it, Curtis, going through a stop sign?
Going
or,
through
I don't
a
know
speed
what
line.
It was.
Going through, yeah, doing something. Were you waving?
Where Costco is. Gary borrows
so
a van
Curtis
every
is,
once in a while. He'll come and say, Curtis, let me borrow the van.
Curtis is no longer a felon.
We appreciate you, Gary, for
I'm glad you're on the
clean
side of the law, Curtis.
I had to pay the ticket.
Oh, my goodness. Well, like I said again,
you know, sometimes,
Rob Ford, how you doing?
I don't know. I haven't had very many tickets in my life, and apparently they can snap you without you even realizing that you got it until you get something in the mail. And that's kind of what happened, is we had no idea. We just thought it was this guy, and the whole time it was me. But all taken care of.
I tell you guys. Let me tell you guys a stupid ass story I got. And I got a lighted one, and I was in my car at the time. And it's the best picture I ever gotten. I mean, this picture was phenomenal. I looked good. My car looked good. Everything looked good. But I couldn't remember doing that. And I can't remember when that happened. So I went into court and I told the judge, that's not me. Does that even look like me? Look at that judge. That's not me. You guys got to made a mistake. And he threw me out.
Well, that's another story of the black man winning, because we know how that can go in 10th court system. It's a little scary. So kudos to you, Gary. Kudos to you, Curtis, again, bucking the system. So, you know, here we go. Man, we've had some fun. Rob Ford, appreciate your patience here. We're going to get started with the show eventually. You doing all right?
Hey, man, doing great. Got the double dose of asparagus in today. With no chicken for lunch, with salmon for dinner. And, hey, it's a great time in the sports world. You know, football kicking off. And NBA free agency has been a whirlwind here. I mean, NBA is throwing around money like I don't know what right now. And then, hey, our men's basketball team playing for the gold medal tomorrow night.
There it is. Let's have some fun here. Really quickly, as we've been patient, let's really throw out the numbers. As always, follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. If you guys are not, I expect everyone in this call to be following us on Twitter. Also, don't forget to call on the show. The number is the same signature all the time, the 424-243-9519. And last but not least, the amazing Facebook.com/TalkingSports with the 12th man. We are covered in all areas and sections, and I cannot wait to launch the YouTube channel too. So we're gonna have some fun, gentlemen, as well. So let's get this party started here. We got to start off with the USA, or excuse me, the medal count. I'm gonna give some love to the USA, but let's talk about the medal count, Rob. We'll go around the horn, if you will.
Hey, yeah, just a quick update. This is from earlier today or earlier this evening, so it may slightly have changed since then, but obviously the USA is still taking home the most medals, 91. Then China with 74, but of course China is still leading in the gold medal count with 34 right now, and the U.S. 29. The Russian Olympic Committee, the ROC, I guess they're calling it, 22 gold in a total of 46. And of course Japan is, the ROC has 56 total medals, so that puts them third in total medals, but Japan is third in gold medals with 22.
Absolutely, and Japan has really been a surprise in the Olympics with, you know, the amount of medals that they have, because they normally don't have any count like this, so they've done really good. But I wanted to give an Olympic shout-out to our Krauser from the Portland area. He has won back-to-back gold medals in the shot put. The Americans took the gold and silver medal. And he lives about 4 miles from where I live, and you see him every once in a while. He's a mountain of a man. He's probably 6'5", 6'6", and just massive, you know. But he won the shot put medal back-to-back. He's won back-to-back gold medals in the last this Olympics and the previous Olympics. So shout-out to our local boy for doing that. And I'm very proud of all of our Olympic athletes that are competing. And what a lot of us don't realize is that everyone there, whether you take last or first, you're an Olympian. You know, you're already a national champion in whatever sport you're in. So they're all champions. So to be on that platform is an incredible feat in itself for all the Olympians.
Absolutely.
Yes,
well said, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And they're trying to keep this thing. Back in the day when I was trying it, they were trying to, so yep, hard to keep that amateur, and the rest of the world is professional.
I got to get Jake, you want to do a quick second, too, whenever he pops on. But, yeah, a lot of good things happening from that perspective.
Yo.
Lou just joined in. So let's talk about really quickly, guys. We just kind of did a recap as far as medal count. But I don't know if you guys remember,
right,
that there was a huge issue with there was a failure by the men's 4x4 100 team. They did not place at all. You know, a sport that we used to dominate. I can't even say that anymore because I don't think we've won since like 2000. And then I think the last medal we got was like silver in that.
You mean the meter relay?
So. Yeah, the men's relay. Yeah, it's crazy. Obviously,
yeah.
This is not happening for the ladies, but just the colossal failure that's happening on that side, too. I don't know if you want to talk about it, Curtis, Gary, as far as that, too, and then we'll get to talking. But it's just crazy how, you know, obviously, we used to have a good lock on that sport, but it looks like the world is kind of catching up like other things, basketball, everything like that, you know. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's that the world is catching up to us. In the 4x100, to me it looked like a simple mistakes on our part. And
oh, we talked about
it. Looked like it was bad organization.
Yeah.
It looked like it was bad coaching. Looked like it was bad timing with the guys connecting with one another. And you know, Carl Lewis, you know, he went in. I mean, he went in hard.
Oh yeah, he
and,
did.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, we got the wrong guys running the wrong legs. You know, they say we looked like an AAU team, and even. Talking, you know, we had three of the fastest guys in the world on that team, but it was just no cohesiveness. And talking to some of the athletes, and you know, it sounds as though they said they just put something together like the day before. I mean, how you competing in a 4x100, and you're just going to rely on your talent? You know, and still that's a team relay, and you got to have some cohesion. You got to have some chemistry there.
Practice.
And I personally don't think it's anything about the world. I think it was all about us.
You know, I totally agree with that. As you look at some of these other teams that have dominated the event, you know, you see that. And they're together. They're running. They're making those adjustments. And so when it comes time to get to the Olympics, they're finely tuned. They're not just throwing the three or four fastest guys out there and saying, hey, okay, you're our team. They've been a team for a long time. You know, they've been a team for, you know, a year or whatever, you know, however long. And if they do get one new guy in there, man, they're training him to be – because it all boils down to, you know, in these races, it all boils down to hundredths of a second. And when you're dealing with that, the difference between just that, a poor handoff or a whatever it would be, that's the difference. That's where we're losing it.
Yep.
We need to get somebody in there that's going to coach these guys, train them right, and bring that team in. Let's not make it, you know, the day before the event. You know, let's bring these guys
yep.
in and let's – we know who – you know 6 months – ahead of time who the fast guys are. You know, you've already had your events in your countries. Bring those guys together and get them trained. Get them working like these other countries that are doing that. They're the ones that are winning, and we're not, and we should be.
Yep.
When you have the three fastest guys in the world and you're not winning the race, that's coaching.
Yes. Yeah. Lack of preparation.
Coaching and practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the way the teams beat us, because we're not disciplined. And there's a little bit more discipline on those teams that go there. But I'll tell you guys something stupid. I almost went to the Olympics twice. When I came out of college, I got a college scholarship in track and field. I ran, my 100 meters wasn't that good, but it was like a 10-2. My 200 meters was a 20.6. My 400 meters was a 45.8. I was in at Olympic qualifying times, and I was heading that way. But 80, we boycotted, and 84, the Soviet bloc. Boycotted L.A. So, but in high school, after a practice that I was having a really good one, I got in a pickup football game after practice. And I ran around the end and cracked my head against somebody else's head with no helmet on. I mean, whammo. had a concussion.
Oh.
Was messed up. Okay. But, you know, they took me off, tried to ice me down, just told me not to get any sleep. I tried not to get any sleep, but that didn't work. I came to the track meet. We had a relay track and field meet at our high school, all relays. And I usually started our relays in high school, and I did that time. And one of my best friends was running second. I had a tent that was separated from the thing, and people would wake me up to go run. I started the race, had us in the lead, told him to move. He started moving. And when I passed him over the baton, I stepped on his back foot as it was coming up. And he dove like he was on a diving team, and all this cinder block and stuff came in my face. I came back, and I had to go to the tent and get some sleep. But the coach was all over my friend, thinking he's the one that screwed up. And I couldn't, I didn't have enough brain power to fess up. And I was the one that screwed that up. And it was my fault. And I felt so damn bad.
Well, Curtis, that sounds like you could have made our Olympic team this year.
Certainly does.
Oh, man. Lou, you guys need to add to that, Lou?
I mean, we have done well with our Olympics, you know, or even though China has the most gold medals, but we did better than what most people thought it was going to do. I was going to say the same, though, for Olympic coverage that we've been having, because that part has been, well, awful. I think you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
You guys say more. You know, you want to watch a good event, but they want you to show on Peacock. And, you know, by the time we see it, it's already on tape. I'm like, come on. Yeah, I know. It's a time difference, but still, that really screwed us all up.
Yep.
But I am happy for the events. I mean, and Simone Biles, how she came back from her little episode and was managed to win bronze. I mean, gold would have been nice. But, hey, a medal is a medal. And, you know, we're proud of her.
There we are. We are. Good stuff. Nice transition as well. Yeah, good stuff. And I guess we're also excited about the U.S. basketball playing France for the gold medal because, again, we got a little nervous, right? I think the first couple of times we're like, what? You know, so I don't know, Rob, you want to talk about that.
Yeah.
We're obviously going to play France. And the France team is definitely no slouch, but, you know, it looks like, you know, finally the U.S. are finally hitting their stride and playing well, too. So I don't need to talk about that, Rob.
Yeah, I was actually watching the game earlier this evening against Australia. Obviously, it was last night. I wasn't staying up in the middle of the night to watch it. But I did watch it earlier this evening. And you know, was really impressed with the defensive intensity that started in the second quarter on for the rest of the game. And Jrue Holiday hasn't missed a beat from the NBA Finals. We talked about on last week's show how Kevin Durant had to be the key for this team, and he's taken over this team. He's been that guy that's carrying them, the hitting shot after shot. But Jrue Holiday has been the second-best player on this Olympic team. He's been getting it done on both ends of the floor. He totally took Patty Mills out of the game for Australia, and his shooting was only like 5 from 14. And when they played in the exhibition, Patty Mills was just shooting lights out against the American team. Jrue Holiday totally took him out of the ball game. And then he was also penetrating on the offensive end, too. Devin Booker, and he had another one, 20 points in the game against Australia, hitting threes, getting to the basket.
He's
another one that hasn't missed the beat from the finals as well. And so you can see that this team is starting to come together and gel at the right time as they get ready to play the gold medal game. And as you mentioned, France is no slouch. Rudy Gobert on that team.
Evan Fournier.
Fournier, Nicholas Batum is on their team as well. So obviously they're going to have to come ready to play.
Shout out to the Portland Trailblazers.
Loss. But yeah, it seems as though the team is starting to come together. And, you know, it took a while. I mean, Booker, Middleton, and Holiday got there on, like, the you know, right the day before or right the day of the first game.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah,
I think you're starting to see that this team is finally starting to come together, you know, just at the right time. And Draymond Green, he's not putting up a lot of points or anything, but you can tell he's been kind of like a glue and a good figure to that team on the defensive end, too.
He's doing exactly what he does in Golden State. He does all the little things. He's strong. He can guard all the positions, and he's just a high IQ basketball guy. He doesn't have that long shot consistently or anything, but he's just – he does all the little things that – so it's the kind of guy you want on, you know, as part of your team. Now, when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, we all had concerns. I had concerns on how Pop was really letting this team work, you know, and how he was – I felt like he was trying to you know, play it like some of these other teams that are together, like Spain or France or whatever, these teams that have been together for so long and played together, and our guys haven't. And it seems like he's gone back and let them play their style of basketball, and it's working. Because a few weeks ago, I did not think they were going to win the gold medal. I wasn't even sure if they were going to medal. So I'm really glad that they're in the position that they're in, and they're, you know, and they're going to win the gold. I mean, they're going to win it. I already yeah, know that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to pull it out against France this time. We talked to the defensive end. Another guy who I didn't mention earlier, Zach LaVine, has been getting it done on defensive end too. His athleticism has been really impressive, and Jason Tatum too. Both of those guys have really been instrumental along with Jrue Holiday on the defensive end for this team. And that's where their athletic ability comes in handy against these foreign countries. Their athleticism is getting it done on the defensive end.
Right. When you see some of these guys that have played together, these just journeyman NBA players that are playing just like Rubio.
Rubio.
Yeah. You know, Rubio played like he was, you know, some NBA, you know, top five NBA player, which he's not.
Yeah.
But, boy, I'll tell you what, in that situation, they play good.
Yeah.
It's their style of basketball. They grew up playing like that, and they're very – yeah. So that's the scary thing. But I think that – United States is powerful enough and strong enough, and they're playing the right type of basketball now and, you know, stifling defense that they're going to win. They're going to win. I think it may be close at some points, but I think when the end score is done, I think they'll probably win by 12 to 15 points.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be a double digit victory too. I mean, it beat Spain by 14 and Australia, they just, the second quarter on, they just really dominated that basketball game, won by 19, I believe the final score was, 97-78. I mean, they just really turned up the intensity in that game. And it's going to be the same. They got to win the same way. Defensive intensity, the turns into transition points, and knocking down the three-point shots. If they're doing those two things, I don't think France has a chance.
No.
France has a chance. France didn't have a chance. That was a good job on the rhyme. Go ahead, Chris, real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I think about the American kids, and I think about how global the NBA is and how global the NBA was getting way back when San Antonio was winning that. So the American kid, you know, to get that job in the NBA now, you got to be sharper, you got to be stronger, and you got to have some know-how, because more and more jobs are going worldly. But it's good for the NBA, maybe not so good for the ghetto kid. And, you know, That's almost the world, because I think on jobs nowadays, you compete against the world for the most part. And the NBA definitely highlights that.
Yeah, just about all these teams that were competing in the Olympics had at least one NBA player on it, including Japan. Hachimura that played for Gonzaga and played for the Washington Wizards. So just about every team here had at least one, and most of the time, ultimately, Slovenia with Luka Doncic had a bunch of NBA players on the team. France does. Looking at Australia, they had a bunch of NBA players.
Nigeria.
Spain, probably the whole roster was NBA players. And so, Curtis is exactly right. I mean, the game is truly global. And we was talking about this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about how they were all the great centers are foreigners.
We talked about that.
From Joel Embiid, being from Cameroon, and Nikola Jokic from the Eastern Europe. And all of your great centers in the NBA, Clint Capella. I mean, you can go on and on. But I did think of one center who's better than JaVale McKee, which we had a hard time thinking about this on last week. Brook Lopez from America. He's from the Jackson, Mississippi, and California, Fresno.
There it is. We got one. We got one. He's got his brother Robin, too, but I guess Robin can do anything but the Lopez brothers, so good job. That was great. Nice. Lou, anything to add to that, Lou? Nope. Lou, nothing to add to that?
No, go on.
Hey, so let's talk about the NBA free agency update. Man, gentlemen, you talk about a flurry of moves. Too bad Jake Hughes not on, because I can talk about Russell Westbrook, if you will. Talk about him. But, quietly, the Lakers are doing some moves here. You got to like what's happening with Chicago. It's been an interesting situation. I think me and Robert, especially Rob, is making jokes. If he was only in the gym shooting 3,000 jumpers a day, he'd be able to sign, some type of contract, But, John Collins, again, signs back with the Hawks. And, we talked about that's not enough to feed my family. So we got a lot of things to discuss, Rob. So I'll kick it to you, man. We'll go around the room because, the Knicks getting a Kemba Walker, which is, hopefully you got a nice Kemba Walker, not an old-school Kemba Walker. Kyle Lowry going to the Heat. A lot of moves, man. Let's talk about what's happening with this, too, man. So we got a lot of things to jump into. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'll go through this quickly. Obviously, Phoenix was able to keep Chris Paul and Cameron Payne, so that was a plus on their end. Utah was able to keep Mike Conley, keep that core intact. And you mentioned Atlanta being able to keep Trae Young and John Collins. That's a plus for the Hawks. Heat is definitely one of the winners so far. We're adding Kyle Lowry, obviously re-signing Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson. They was able to bring Marquise Morris into the mix. Victor Oladipo was hurt toward the end of the year. Maybe he's healthy next year, but they were able to keep him as well. But I think the Heat is definitely one of the winners. Obviously, they had to trade Precious and Goran Dragic to the Toronto in a trade and sign to get Lowry. But I definitely think the Heat is one of the winners in this deal. Obviously, Washington losing Russell Westbrook, where they got Spencer Dinwiddie. I think the Bulls could be another winner here, too. We're getting Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, and DeMar DeRozan to pair with Zach LaVine. Lauri Markkanen is a restricted free agent. They may lose him. I hear the Charlotte Hornets are possibly trying to offer him a deal. But obviously the Lakers, you got to give them credit, even though they signed a lot of veterans. But in addition to Westbrook, they were able to get Carmelo. They were able to get Kent Bazemore. Dwight Howard, Kendrick Nunn, I think, is a very underrated player. Wayne Ellington, the perimeter shooter, and Trevor Ariza. The Sixers bringing back Danny Green and Andrew Drummond. The Nets bringing back Blake Griffin, and they signed Patty Mills. Obviously, the Warriors gave Steph Curry the big deal. And the Knicks is a winner, in my opinion, as Dre was just talking about. Obviously, you keep Julius Randle. You keep Derrick Rose, but you bring on board Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier from the Celtics. So not only do you take two players away from one of your arch rivals, but you make your team better by getting Kemba Walker and a better, you know, outside shooter in Evan Fournier. So I definitely think the Knicks, Heat, the Bulls, and the Lakers are four teams that I think probably improved themselves the most. Obviously, the Bucks was able to keep Bobby Portis, but they lost P.J. Tucker. I forgot about that. The Heat was able to get P.J. Tucker, too, but, you know, another role player that you just like to have on your team. The Blazers were able to keep Norman Powell. The Pelicans getting Devontae Graham and Valanciunas. Dallas, obviously, keeping Tim Hardaway Jr. Jared Allen, five-year, $100 million deal with Cleveland. That was a
big
surprise.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Did not see that coming at all. Yeah. And Will Barton going to Denver, was staying with Denver. Gary Trent Jr. staying with Toronto. Kelly Olynyk going to Detroit. T.J. McConnell staying with Indy. And we talked about the Celtics. They lost Daniel Theis as well. He's going to Houston. And I talked about the teams that were winners, but the Celtics is a clear loser so far with losing Daniel Theis, Kemba Walker, and Evan Fournier.
JQ, welcome. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Jay?
I would say the two big winners were definitely the Knicks and the Lakers in free agency. The moves that they made, or
don't make JQ happy.
I mean, it is
Westbrook.
You know,
good.
I mean, look at that starting lineup for the Lakers now. I mean, geez. And then look at
who's the point guard.
They were showing that online, and they were showing role players coming off. I'm like, damn, that's just not fair.
Yeah,
it really isn't.
How they pass the ball?
Now they're older.
I'm just giving JQ.
And there's injuries, but it looks great.
Yeah. You can only go by on paper right now, you know. And
that's right.
If you go off on paper, then, yeah, you obviously got to say that they're one of the clear winners. And like you said, the Knicks, I would include the Bulls and the Heat in that mix, too. Those are my four winners. But, you know, you can only go off of on paper. And, you know, and right now, if you look at it on paper, you got to think that the Lakers have put themselves back in position to be the number one seed in the West. And – you know, you look at the Eastern Conference, obviously they're healthy. I think the Nets will be their number one seed in the East. So all you can go by is on paper right now. And on paper, those look to be the two favorites right now.
I want to say, I think the Lakers, what they did, I think they're going to keep LeBron James healthy during the regular
GM.
Season. And bust them out in the playoffs. So they brought in all those veterans, and they got one mission, to keep LeBron healthy and get to the playoffs with a healthy LeBron and a healthy the center they got.
Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis,
One
B.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. So I think the winners are Miami, Chicago. And I am mad at the Blazers. I don't even know if they got anybody can guard anybody. And I don't see why they didn't. Powell, I don't know if he can guard anybody.
Yeah.
They're short. They're three main guys.
Yep.
They're all short.
Hey, really quickly, there's a note that LaMarcus Aldridge is thinking about making a return. So that's for you guys, man. So there you go.
Oh, God.
Curtis, look at Gary's face. He's like, I want no part of that.
At this point, I'll take it.
Bad idea, huh?
What?
At this point, I'll take it.
I hope he doesn't. Just for his own health.
Yeah, that's for Gary?
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't want to lose Carmelo, and I didn't want to lose Cannon, and I don't see the guys they brought better than Carmelo, and better than.
When LeBron comes calling, hey, you guys can take the league minimum, but I'll give y'all a little sniping on the side. You know, I got all these businesses on the side. I got all these sponsorships. I give y'all a little snipe on the side. Come to Hollywood.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
It's hard to compete with that.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, he's got the production deal lodging in LA. Listen, if you're gonna take the veteran minimum to go to LA where the taxes are crazy high in California, you gotta have a little side something to say, hey,
yeah,
we're gonna give you some of that money to get back. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that was part of it. I'm with everybody in terms of on paper, yes, the Lakers, but a piece of me still, you know, I don't like Russell Westbrook, as you know, we've had numerous conversations about him. But he's somebody that's gonna play super hard, and he's gonna be able to let LeBron not have to have to bring the ball up the court every time. So I think he's also gonna have to be in Anthony Davis' ear, like, hey, you can't take plays off, you can't take games off. And I think they're pretty good friends, so we'll see how that works out. I have a hard time with some of the winners, though, because I look at Chicago, and you get Ball, and you get Caruso, and you get DeMar DeRozan. But you look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference, and you say, what does that buy you? And does that buy you a top six seed, and to get bounced in the first round, or get to the second round and lose 5-1, you know, 4-1 in five games? Like, I just don't think that's enough to move the needle, you know. The money they spent, I know part of it sometimes is just to get to the playoffs, but, you know, it reminds me a lot of some of, you know, I'm not making you mad, Dre, but I'm just saying, some of those Hawks teams were just good enough to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not good enough to be in the playoffs. That means they'll never be in the lottery and be able
That's
to
fair.
Impact,
right.
You know, a game changer for you. So I look at that and I say, who really did anything, you know, to dethrone in the East that – Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, triumvirate at the top. And I don't see anything. I think I like what Atlanta did. They said, hey, let's run it back. We had a good run. And I get that. But the other teams that are just trying to move out of that 11th, 12th spot in the East to that 7th, 8th, 9th, you know, 9th, 10th play-in game, what is, I mean, I guess you make the playoffs, but, you know, cautionary tale of being in that middle tier of not being able to, you know, get an impact player because you're making the playoffs, but you don't get a good draft pick. So I'm not as high on some of those pieces, but you know how I am. I wouldn't pay none of these dudes that kind of money. I mean, come on. We talked about it with Jared Allen, and you're going to pay Chris Paul that kind of money, going to be 41 years old, making $40 million a year. Like, seriously? There are things I just don't understand. I think the teams that you thought were going to be good and still be in it, are them, except for Boston. I agree. I think Boston's in trouble. I think they squandered. When they made that Kevin Garnett, you know, Paul Pierce trade with Brooklyn to get all those picks, and you look at them and they're not able to be in that upper echelon where you include them in that top tier, that's a fail on them. But you know me, I'll never cry for the Celtics. But I still feel like your top tier teams in East Conference are still going to be there. Brooklyn is getting Blake Griffin to resign for the vet minimum, and, you know, and around the periphery, you know, just but they got those three stars. I just don't think anybody took a leap except for maybe Miami. But I'm not, again, Kyle Lowry for $30 million a year. Is he with, you know, and Duncan Robinson getting $90 million? Is that enough to challenge that top tier over a 7-game series with no injuries? I don't know.
Yeah. I mostly agree with you there, JQ, and I did my updated Eastern Conference rankings based on where some of the free agency and the draft is taking place. I've moved Miami up to the number 3 spot, so I don't put them ahead of the Nets and the Bucks. I think the Nets and the Bucks are 1 and 2 still in the Eastern Conference, but I moved Miami up to the 3 spot. Obviously, you get Kyle Lowry, you still have Bam. If Jimmy Butler is healthy, and that's all we can do is base this off of all of these teams being healthy, right? And with that being said, I moved Miami up to the 3 spot. And you got to remember, this was a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, actually, a couple of years ago.
NBA Finals, yeah.
So I do think they get slightly better here, and they move back up into that top 3 of the Eastern Conference based on where the things are right now. You're spot on with the Bulls. I think the Bulls got better. Obviously, the Bulls didn't even make the playoffs this past year. I think the Bulls improved to being a playoff team for the first round exit.
Yep.
And I don't see them going into the second round. So, they got better, but I think they're a first-round playoff exit. Same with the Knicks. The Knicks were a first-round playoff exit.
I think they got a little better, but I still think they're first round exit. So to me, the team that improved the most is the Heat. I think they move up to the top three. I move the Heat ahead of the Sixers right now.
Ooh.
Now the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine.
So what?
I mean, and I feel that.
I think the Hawks where they are. Now, the Hawks got to figure out how to get better, too, because you got some other teams in the conference that got better. So right now, they're status quo.
Yeah.
But,
that's fair.
Yeah, so they're gonna have to get better from within, right? And they got a good young nucleus, and so they have the potential to still get better just because their players are maturing too.
We got some guys hurt too. Obviously, John didn't play. You know, Cam Reddish got hit, and then I like to pick up with Georgie Jang. We got him another backup center. Obviously, we're getting DeLon Wright from Sacramento, so that's the backup point guard, if you will, 6'5" guy. And again, like you said, let's see what happens with the. I mean, you can't expect anything from the rookies, but again, you added those pieces and you re-signed Collins and you re-signed Lou Will today too. So you basically, like I said, as JQ said, you are running back, but you're hoping that, you know, obviously a healthy DeAndre Hunter is going to play something. You know, obviously losing Trey definitely affected that. And, you know, obviously we can't say anything with the top teams with Brooklyn, you know, obviously going to be number one and two with Milwaukee. And then obviously I see we're talking about with Miami. So, I mean, just show us a little love, if you will, too, man. We ain't that damn bad. You know, I still think, you know, you got to throw some of the name.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying so far,
Milwaukee hasn't got better, right? Milwaukee's running it back too. So I mean, they're basically hoping they can run it back with pretty much the same team right now. And
Absolutely. Is
that going to be enough next year? I mean, you got to still figure out a way to actually get better, right? And did they do enough to get better?
Mm-hmm.
But they also are capped out, and that's what happens. You know what I mean? Like you get capped out when you pay Drew Holiday, you know, and Giannis. And Chris Middleton, that money, there's only so much that you can do. So those top-tier teams are always just tinkering on the edges with, you know, the bi-level exception and minimum kind of deals with people. And, you know, that's what, you know, we're signing Blake Griffin. Like, where else is he going to really go? Ain't nobody going to give Blake that kind of money. If they will, he's going to go to a team that's going to suck. Why would he do that? I just, when I look at it, it just doesn't, to me, outside of Miami, it doesn't change what I thought going into next year, what it would be. You know, in terms of late, you know, going into May and June, who are the teams I really think have a shot to go the whole distance? Like, I don't understand that from Chicago and New York. You could have spent a lot of money to be a first-round exit team. Is it worth it to make the playoffs and get that gate revenue? Maybe if you feel like that or get your fan base energized for just making the playoffs. But in terms of challenging for a championship, and that's what we're talking about, that's what it really comes down to. I'm just like, I still think it's only a handful of teams that really had the ability to challenge for a championship.
We're going to throw it to Curtis and Gary and Lou in a quick second. I just want to say this. You know, we talk about what's happening with New York, the Knicks. They gave Julius Randle a four-year, $117 million deal. Are they still paying?
I still think
they are. I still think they're playing out. They're still paying Allen Houston somewhere, by the way. But you know, I'm joking.
Just like the Mets still paying Bobby Bonilla.
Bob and Neal,
right.
Every
the
year.
Mets are really still alive.
They're in the same deal.
We joking.
Bonilla and Hinnis are in the same deal.
1 year, a lifetime deal. Come on, man. Every July the 1st, he gets $1 million.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh, man. And they still
hey, you
like
know, the Mets are struggling now, too.
Well,
yeah.
I've been
watching the Braves and
that
Phillies
up,
behind them right now.
Yeah.
We're a sports talk show, but, you know, all the sports we talk about are big business. Who's selling tickets and how important it is to kind of hype up somebody and make an interest in your local market for people to come out and shell out that big-ass money that they're going to see for NBA games. And that's not a cheap ticket. It's not. And so, I mean, you can see what they're doing. I see it. You hype up these guys, and you hype them up in your market, and hopefully that guy's selling you tickets. That's what you're paying them for. And hopefully you can come through and make you a winner. We like women.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, for Carmelo Anthony, I didn't want him to leave, but I don't blame him for leaving. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He will be. And he deserves a shot at a ring. He wasn't going to get a shot at a ring here. But one thing that he did say in his parting tweet to the Blazers is, I want to thank Rip City for allowing me and giving me the opportunity to love the game of basketball again. Because when I came here, I had lost that, and I have it back, and I will always be grateful. So I was really happy with that. He's a class act, and he did. He's one of those guys that, you know, he can take – he's not going to pass away that big shot. He'll be able to hit that big shot if the Lakers need him. He did for us. He did it all, you know, for 2 years. He hit shots that were, you know, winning shots and, you know, closing quarter shots. And you need that extra person to take some of the – some of the pressure off of your, you know, off of your two main guys in L.A. You know, it doesn't have to be Anthony Davis and LeBron James. When you've got another Hall of Famer he'll hit that three, and he shot it at over 40% here for his time here in Portland. And I was really happy that he was here, and I wish him all the best.
Very well said.
Yeah, that was
Gary.
A class ever.
I'm going to say really quickly, as much as I hate the Lakers, I secretly do like the pickup of Chris Nunn. That's a great pickup for them, too. Hopefully, he'll get a chance to get some run, too. But as much as I, you know, crap on the Lakers and give JQ a hard time, you know, I was a really, you know, they definitely got some good, I don't want to say old-timers, but, you know, they got some good players that, so we'll see how that plays out. It's all about on paper, as Rob said. On paper, everything looks good, but you have to play the games, too. So,
yes.
You know, again,
you mean Kendrick,
we'll see
now,
how
right?
it plays out. Yeah, Kendrick, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of, Kendrick. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Kendrick
for the,
that was
Miami,
a good move right there. He's a very underrated
forward. I was saying none, not done. I was trying to get that too, but my apologies. Yeah.
He's a very underrated scorer. You know, he gets to 14, 15 points a night. He doesn't do a lot else, but he is definitely with that team. You know, you're going to need another scorer, another shooter. And he definitely brings that to the table. To me, that was a very underrated move getting him. I think most people are talking about them getting Carmelo and Dwight Howard and Trevor.
Yeah, I'm excited, Tom.
But Kendrick Nunn might be one of the more impressive signings they actually did.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
They got their own microwave to come off the bench and say, hey, go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's going to get you 14, 15. Some nights he's going to get you a little bit over 20. And, he's definitely a volume scorer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll wrap up the show. I guess if you want to talk about any of the last topics from AA Ron, keeping Jordan Love in the loop or anything else, there's been a lot of interesting topics that have been happening as far as this week. So, you know, obviously I'm going to highlight a couple of things as far as the Bucks giving Todd Bowles an extension, Mike Trout, what's happening with that. We got some Power 5 realignments. You know, we got stuff happening. Who's going to be the Eagles quarterback? You know, so we got a couple things to talk about. JQ just joined in with like the last 10 minutes here. So I don't know. I'm going to let Rob kind of talk to that. And then we can have your last go around the room and figure that out, too. So, there it is. JQ is in the building.
All right. Who's going first?
Rocking the Algie Crumpler?
That's right, bro.
Okay.
He even signed it. He even signed it too, believe it or not. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that's a big deal with Mike Vick, huh?
I can't worry about Julio anymore. Apparently, man, it's like this is bad. I got a Ward Dunn, one of my favorite jerseys right there, because Ward Dunn was born a day after me, the same year, everything like that. You know, I got an old school Deion Sanders one. So I'm gonna rock that. Oh, my gosh. But Florida State stand up. So, again, gentlemen, as we wrap this up, we got to talk about, obviously we'll kind of go start Rob, JQ, Curtis, Gary, and then kind of wrap up the show, because I'm sure by that time we'll be done with this episode, if you will, of Talking Sports. So go ahead with any
any topic you guys want to talk about, or anything that's happened for the week, we can kind of talk about that as well.
Yeah, I'll start with the – I'll go over the college football, college basketball landscape now in college athletic. It's obviously going to be real interesting. I'm sure you probably all heard that the Pac-12 commissioner met with the Big 12 commissioner. You know, there's rumors about a possible merger, et cetera, and things of that nature. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens now, right? So Texas and Oklahoma, when you think about college athletics right now, that's obviously a huge landscape with them moving to the SEC. Now, you know, Ohio State and Michigan is not leaving the Big Ten. They're going to stay where they are. They're the other two big money universities. Notre Dame is going to stay an independent. So where does USC stand? They're the other big money university out there that any conference will gladly take, right? But I still don't see them leaving the West Coast. And obviously anybody would take on USC in that Los Angeles market, but I don't see them leaving the West Coast. So what's going to happen with the Big Eight?
Down
right?
At the West Coast.
Do the Big Eight bring schools over like Cincinnati, Houston, and Memphis and just try to make themselves a powerful basketball conference like the Big East? That's some thought, because you think about it. Who just won a national championship in college basketball? Baylor, right? They're still in the current Big 12. You got Kansas, another basketball powerhouse. Does the Big 8 or the Big 12, whatever conference they are right now, do they decide to, of course, play football, but do they try to make themselves a powerful basketball conference now, raid the AAC? You know, get schools like Cincinnati, get schools like Memphis, get schools like Houston, and turn that into a powerful basketball conference and still play football, correct? You know, Texas Tech, you know, supposedly reached out to the Pac-12. Do they leave to go join the Pac-12? Again, Texas Tech was in the national championship game in college basketball a few years ago. So, once again, you know, either the AAC raised the Big 12 or the Big 12 raised the AAC. Or just a lot of these Big 12 schools join the Pac-12. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. To me, where is West Virginia standing in all this? Because they're still on the East Coast. To me, the perfect fit for them would be to go to the ACC or somewhere like that. So it's going to be really interesting. I personally believe that Texas and Oklahoma is going to be joining the SEC a lot sooner than 2025. It's not going to be 2025.
Oh, yeah.
This landscape is going to change. Or within the next year or two, and Texas and Oklahoma will probably be playing in the SEC as early as 2023, in my opinion. There's going to be a lot of movement coming up. So it's going to be really interesting what happens here over the next – probably the next few months of what goes on with the college athletics in its realignment.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to touch on. I touched on it from a different angle. It really sucks for the AAC. Right, because you had all those teams like Cincinnati's been begging the Big 12 to get in the Big 12. They just missed the last cut when West Virginia got in it. But now when you don't have the Texas Oklahoma in it, you know, what does that do for the Big 12 in terms of those adding a Cincinnati and Houston doesn't move the needle. You know, you're talking about in terms of the revenue that is being brought in by that those particular universities, them adding them to the pool is not gonna get that uptake that you're looking for. So it really sucks for those schools that were looking on the outside, looking in, trying to hope that those things, those conferences would stay intact and just expand and bring schools into it. It sucks for them. Because if you're the Big 12, you know I joked about it, but I'm looking at the Pac-12 like, why the hell do you want to do anything with the Big 12? Like, nobody wants to see Oregon State play fucking Baylor. Nobody wants to see that. And you can say that about basketball. I get it. But the one that drives the revenue is going to be football. And basketball will come in a little bit behind it, but football is going to be number one. So you talk about that. You don't have any marquee matchup that you add from the Big 12 to the Pac-12. Oklahoma State has Boone Pickens. He gives them a lot of money. And I know he's got, you know, he's going to try to boost Oklahoma State up. But I'm looking at them like, what are you really going to get out of them? You're going to get a whole bunch of, you know, you get Kansas basketball, but you're going to get the Iowa, you know, Iowa State and Kansas State, you know what I'm saying? Like, just. What does that do for the Pac-12 that was already struggling to keep up with the ACC and the Big Ten and the SEC? I just don't think that necessarily helps it. If I'm the Pac-12, I may try to rate it a little bit,
But I'm going to just do my, you said, do my best to keep USC, Oregon, and UCLA happy. Hey, y'all, so y'all get no ideas. We love y'all. What do y'all need? Let's make this work. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing if I'm the Pac-12, and I'm going to say to the Big Ten and say, hey, we already got the Rose Bowl, so how about instead of you doing this with the Big 12, how about you do some of the scheduling stuff with the Big Ten so we get some more USC, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon kind of games in the middle of the season and keep that those Rose Bowl ties that already exist together. I just don't quite understand, unless it's purely basketball, to your point, Rob, which would work, why the Pac-12 would even bother with the Big 12.
Another reason, the only reason why the Pac-12 is listening, the state of Texas. The state of Texas is intriguing to the Pac-12. So even though Baylor is not Texas, even though Texas Tech is not Texas, that gives them a footprint in the state of Texas. Now, keep in mind, when the SEC added Texas A&M, Texas A&M was not Texas. That got the SEC into Houston. So the Pac-12 is definitely going to consider Texas Tech and Baylor for those two reasons, to get into the state of Texas. That's going to help them with recruiting. That's going to help them get into those TV markets like Dallas and Austin in particular, and even San Antonio to a certain extent too. They're not Texas, but they're going to give them a footprint in that state of Texas, and that's going to be able to increase their media rights and the media revenues just by having that Texas market to sell. And that's why the Pac-12 is listening to Texas Tech and Baylor. I would be shocked if, you know, the Pac-12, doesn't add them. And, you know, Oklahoma, they might have to take Oklahoma State along with them, get that Oklahoma City market. But, you know, that's the only reason. Like I said, the SEC, you know, they took Texas A&M when Texas A&M was in Texas, but they got the SEC into Texas. And the Pac-12 may be thinking the same thing there.
Yeah, but Texas A&M is still on another tier to me even beforehand than Texas Tech and Baylor would hope to achieve. The other piece about it is that the Pac-12 really doesn't mess with those religious schools like that. So Baylor, being a pretty religious school, what does that do with Pac-12? Are they like, yeah, no, we don't want none of that firebrand stuff y'all got going on? So I hear what you're saying. I none of those schools move the needle for a Pac-12 that, you know, is already kind of struggling to get
over. Yeah,
well,
no,
it's
I agree
super
with you on the playing surface, but you know, but I do think getting into Texas is attractive to them, though. But yeah, does it sound sexy? Texas Tech, Baylor joining? Not necessarily, but from a basketball standpoint, it does. And from a football standpoint, you get to recruit the state of Texas even more now, and you get access to those TV deals.
Well, one of the things that Bill Knight quietened, this coach that they hired, he's got connections into Florida. And he's been picking up kids out of Florida.
90 seconds.
And that is something sneaky that Phil Knight did. USC, like you said, they kind of do need to be back in Providence. But our games are on so late, it's hard to watch them anyway. Because by the time our games come on, the 7:30 game, it's midnight on the East. So you guys got to catch them in the newspaper. So we got to be singular, and we got to be smart. But I hear what you're saying, and I think they know too. Because they're asleep at the switch, and their cable network is not as strong as Texas is and Alabama, and they need to fix that.
Okay, Curtis, we're signing off, so we've got to let Rob do his thing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a very brief OT portion. We still got some closing comments from Gary and JQ, but we thank you all for tuning in to another live portion. We're going to be back on next Thursday night. We're going to be back on Thursday night again next week, 2 weeks in a row, Thursday night. JQ is going to be celebrating his birthday earlier next week, and this will happen to be the Reds coming to Atlanta on his birthday. That couldn't work out any better. But happy birthday, JQ. But, yeah, next week we'll be back on Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. Hey, I got my Fresno shout-out earlier. That's going to be 8 p.m. for the Jackson, Mississippi and California in Fresno. Lopez, the Lopez twins is from Jackson, Mississippi and California. 8 p.m. Fresno. Tune in. I want to hear from y'all. Tell me y'all not the Jackson, Mississippi and California.
Oh, my God. Go ahead, Gary. I didn't mean to take all the time. Go for it, Gary.
No problem.
He took everything.
The only thing I wanted to say about this, about the Pac-12, and, you know, I think what these conferences will do is they'll cherry-pick some teams. And the big money is in football. Am I right? Does basketball
make?
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay, so with that said.
But it's a distant second.
Yeah, so with that said, it's about the revenue. It's about seeing what they can pick. You know, getting an opportunity to do more recruiting and more is appealing to all of the Pac-12 schools, you know, the California schools and Oregon and UW, you know, the teams that have had success in the Pac-12. They would love to have some more coverage in those areas and have that opportunity. I think that is correct. I would be interested to see. I think it's going to happen. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And so when, you know, they're talking about this now and, you know, 2025, we'll be talking about something else because this will be done for three seasons. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is going to happen soon.
Yeah. And the thing you got to think about, too, the last two additions to the Pac-12, Utah and Colorado, were they sexy additions? Not really. But they got you into Salt Lake City and they got you into Denver, two major TV markets. And that's the way you got to think about this. And that's what they're thinking about. You know, how can we increase our coverage so we can get a bigger deal when it comes to TV rights? And that's where Texas is going to come in place. Colorado wasn't – Cardale Stewart been gone 30 years. That's the last time Colorado ever had any kind of importance in college
Eric
football,
Bieden.
Right? Utah occasionally has a good team. But, you know, or were they sexy additions to the Pac-12? Not really.
No.
Was Missouri a sexy addition to the SEC? Not really. But it just gave them more of a footprint. And that's the same thing you'll be looking at with the Pac-12 if you add on couple of these Texas schools. If the Big Ten adds Kansas, you know, the Big Ten's getting into Kansas City. You're getting into a market. And, you know, Kansas may not be strong in football, but it's going to increase the Big Ten's presence in basketball if these things happen, right? So you just have to look at it from a media perspective and what kind of footprint that they add into their conferences.
But the thing about the Big Ten is that they're already so strong media-wise and money-wise with football. I think they have the ability to go get just a basketball school, so to speak, in Kansas to go to that side of the equation.
Yep.
For example. I don't think the Pac-12 is strong enough money-wise on the football side to say, okay, I can make this allowance for them because I know their football programs are still struggling. Like Ohio State, I mean not Ohio State, but the Big Ten has Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. They have enough football-wise where they can say, yeah, we're not necessarily going to get it football-wise, but it's going to bring the basketball like this. The Pac-12 is behind the SEC, the Big Ten, and I think they're still behind the ACC in terms of, like, the conference revenue. So if you're going to do that, to Gary's point,
they're ahead of the ACC.
Are they above the ACC? They're ahead of the ACC for the third?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're behind.
The ACC is actually last, believe it or not, out of the Power Five.
Really?
Yeah, even behind the Big 12. That's going to change with the Big 12 structure now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
any new
I still
deal.
Think the point remains, though, that they – I hear what you're saying, and they may do that. It's just the – I still think they'll be the redhead stepchild sometimes on the outside looking in. If Oklahoma, Texas going to the SEC, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 doing something, and then it's going to make the Big Ten and the ACC say, okay, we're strong enough. Do we grab some of these peripheral schools like you talked about with the AAC, our poach a three AAC Tulsa in West Virginia for basketball kind of thing? They're going to all the domino effects, and then if you're still running that same lane behind those other ones, what did you gain by going into Texas? We still not be able to bring, you know what I'm saying? Because think about it, the Big 12
is behind those, the SEC and the Big Ten, and they had Texas and Oklahoma, right? So if you still had already had those Texas markets and you were still running third, grabbing those lesser Texas markets to go to the Pac-12, how does that necessarily boost it up? You're still going to be running third. So I just don't know necessarily what it does for you.
Yeah. USC is key to the Pac-12. USC has to be strong. And the reason why the Pac-12 is still, I mean, they have been down from a football standpoint because USC has been down. USC is, but if you get that Los Angeles TV market behind you, that's still the second largest TV market in the country, right? So the Pac-12 still has that in their back pocket, and that's why they're still relevant. That's why they're still more relevant than the Big Eight again now, because that's all that's left in that conference. and probably still makes them a little bit more relevant than the ACC, even though the ACC is Clemson. But having that Los Angeles TV market, and they can add to that. And then, you know, Seattle's a big TV market. Phoenix is a big TV market. You got the San Francisco Bay Area with Stanford and Cal. Portland is a big TV market. Salt Lake City and Denver, they got some real big TV markets in that Pac-12. And then if you can add Texas to that too, that just definitely increases their footprint. Like I said, they're not going to be. They added Colorado and Utah. Has Colorado and Utah shook the place? No, but it increased their media presence. Is Texas Tech Baylor going to shake the place? No, but they're going to increase their media presence in those markets. And that's about all. I don't think any conference is going to get a major shaking like the SEC just did with Texas and Oklahoma.
That's true. That part is true. Yeah. That's seismic. crazy big.
Yeah.
But is it, and I've been hearing this for a long time, football is getting ready to turn regional. And it's getting ready to turn only in one region, and that's the South. And it may diminish through the rest of the country. Because, let's face it, and the South will tell you, football means more. And in the South, it does. It means more than the rest of the country. And they're not playing. They're not playing down there. Now, if you're going to have to ask it, you're not going to be able to keep up. And that's what we're facing.
I don't know if you've been to the Midwest. It means a whole lot in the Midwest. I was like, I don't know. Well, I mean, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, like it means a lot there. The South, I can tell themselves it means more than everybody else. But I think the reason why the South says that is because the South doesn't have as many major media markets as other regions do. So they gravitate to that because that's not one of the few things they have common to say like that. But when you don't have as many cosmopolitan metro cities like the East and the West and some parts of the Midwest, the South, you know, the Tuscaloosa, that's by Birmingham, ain't shit there. So, yeah, that's the University of Alabama. Ooh, there ain't nothing else to do. So, I mean, I get what they're trying to say. But it those Friday nights on high school football and those Saturday afternoons for college football mean a whole
lot
to the West too. I don't know if you can say that. I just think the South has just decided to say they're going to say that to themselves because they're on quite a roll. And I give them that. SEC is on a tremendous roll. But to say it means more. That's just a tagline. It's always been somewhat regional. The South is running with it right now. They're on a good roll. You got to give them credit for that. But the SEC, that's, like I said, that's seismic. I agree with you, Rob. I don't think there's, unless the Big Ten and the Pac-10 merge, that's about the only thing that could upend.
Yeah. I think when this is all said and done, you're going to have four power conferences. We're going to be down from five. Some kind of way, we're going to be down to four power conferences when it comes to football. Yeah, I don't know if it's in the next year or two, but we're going to go from five to four power conferences here pretty soon, which is going to make sense for expanding the college football playoff to 12.
There it is.
Well, I think it's going to be I think it's going to be – it's going to happen as soon as that Southeastern thing, they get that go-ahead on that. And I think you're going to – it's going to be quick after that because that's, you know, when you've got these people, they're already talking, they're already negotiating. They know a hell of a lot more than we do about what's going on behind the scenes. They know, hey, is this 80% done? Is this 95% done? Okay, what can we get? What are we going to get out of the deal? How is it going to benefit our conference? And I think you're right. I think you'll have four super-duper conferences or power conferences. Or they were already power conferences. Now they're going to be super-power conference, whatever they are.
Yeah.
But I think
yeah,
that four
absolutely.
Is – I think there is going to be four, and I think it's going to happen – fairly quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're looking at this hard, and we're only seeing a few things. How many behind the scenes meetings have these, you know, conferences had before it was, you know, privy in the news? You know, I'm sure they've had lots of different meetings. How can we go about this? What are we going to do? Let's make it happen. Then these other conferences are hearing, hey, guess what? That's what they're doing in the Southeastern Conference. Let's get off our butts. Let's head east. Let's make this happen. So I think with that said, when it happens, I think it's going to be, you think it's going to be three? JQ, what's
the point that Rod just said, that ACC is trailing that far behind? If Florida State and Miami don't get their shit together, and the SEC does that, and the Big Ten is still making that kind of money, and the Pac-12 makes a move, don't be surprised. You start seeing Duke and North Carolina looking around like, I'm tired of being in here with fucking Wake Forest and North Carolina State. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be like, I'm trying to go somewhere and make some of this money too. But if you look at what you just talked about, the ACC is that low in the revenue already. The SEC is going to make a big jump with Texas, Oklahoma. You know the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are going to respond. If the ACC is still treading water behind there, and those types of schools did, okay. But the SEC says, what if we go to the 2-12 division teams and we bring on a Clemson and North Carolina and Duke and Florida State and Miami? That just shuts the ACC down. And that's what I was like. I could see the ACC folding in 5 to 6 years if their revenue stream stays the same. They watch the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the SEC just beat them by leaps and bounds. I mean, I know people are going to say that's crazy, but if you're running fourth all the time, the dudes that are making the money and they're always the little brothers to the poor at the bottom of that conference, like, I don't need you. You weighing me down. I can see that happening. I know it's blasphemous to say, but I can see that happening. That's why I said I can see it going to three.
Yeah, but also, could possibly. Yeah, that's a really good point there, too. But I think, you know, in order for Texas and Oklahoma to be in the SEC sooner than 2025, the rest of the Big Eight will have to disperse. And otherwise, you know, we may be stuck to wait until 2025. But if the rest of the Big Eight, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's going to happen within the next 2 years. I think those schools are going to start to flee. And I think the immediate future, I think the Big 12 will dissolve. Or unless they try to turn themselves just into a basketball conference like the Big East with Villanova, Georgetown. And, hey, the Big East is successful in basketball. I mean, Villanova won 2 out of 3 national championships a few years back, and they can still be successful if they turn that league. They can still play football. The Big East doesn't even play football anymore, but they got schools like Creighton and Georgetown and Villanova, and they've turned themselves into a successful basketball conference. And maybe the Big 12, if only way the Big 12 stays intact is if they add a Cincinnati, Houston, Memphis. They still play football, but basketball becomes more their bigger strength.
Agreed.
Well,
yeah.
I just thought of this, and we're not young anymore, and I'm sorry about that. But
I'm still young. I don't know what you're talking about.
We are looking at their likeness.
I feel 18.
And making money off of this. Where can I go to make the biggest impact to my likeness and the money I can do behind my image and all that? So it's going to creep to that. And that California is going to ring kind of key in that scenario. Because you're going to make a, you know, Hollywood. Here we go.
That's going to be a big show. They are. I'm saying California, I say no fuck. You're right, bro. You're going to have to give about 40% of that back to Uncle Sam, or he's going to be hounding your ass.
All right. I guess we're going to wrap this up, man. I was going to tell you guys really quickly. I didn't realize you were going to say Thursday. You guys need the show without me. It's our anniversary on Thursday. So if y'all want to do that, that is on you guys.
Oh.
So, you know.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
So y'all can do whatever. I'm just throwing it out there. So, you know, again, y'all can do the show without me if we're doing Thursday because I got to take care of the wife.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just saying.
Y'all want to take next week off?
I'm just saying.
Take next week
off? Yeah, I got to figure it out.
Good.
So I'm just saying.
It's not a ton happening.
Yeah.
Y'all can do whatever y'all want. I'm just giving y'all a heads up.
You can do it. I can start the show if
you want to. Figure it out and let us know. We don't have to decide right now. You know, just if you guys want to, we can. We can take next week off.
I'm going to either way.
It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
No.
I hear you.
No. Y'all got birthdays and anniversaries, man. How about we take next week off and regroup the following week?
Y'all can do whatever y'all want. I'm just saying, you know.
Go back to Tuesday night the following week?
Yeah.
I
ain't getting in trouble.
Yeah. We can do that. No, we don't want nobody getting in trouble.
I get for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that happened. Watch
all right.
Slowly decline, just like the SEC and, you know, whatever, and the Big 12, and that's what's going to happen.
I hear you.
Kelly Oubre is going to the Charlotte Hornets. All right.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, if y'all still listening, we're going to be taking next week off. We're going to be back on Tuesday night. That'll be August 17th. August 17th, 11 p.m. It's in Fresno, Tuesday night, August 17th. We'll be back in the house. Yeah. A week and a half away.
Fresno. Robin, have you ever been to Fresno?
I've been there several times.
Oh, y'all crazy.
That's why I know it's in Jackson, Mississippi, and California.
Yeah, okay.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah, no. You can tell that's a personal experience.
No, I've been there several times, actually.
Where are you from?
Andre,
you've
been there with me?
We did that shoot there.
I'm gonna say Andre. I think Andre came with me out there one time. I know Andre came with me to Sacramento once before.
That's right. We did the shoot out there too. We did that world tour. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know about Fresno.
Fresno, hot. It's hot out there, man. It's crazy.
It was good.
Well,
time.
California,
look at the goat there. Man, that's
you
crazy.
Guys.
Good to see the goat in person.
Yeah, it was
well,
good.
Well, you guys
might good.
If you guys are eating any smoke, it's from California, not Oregon. It's from Oregon.
Probably Fresno.
What?
It's probably Fresno.
The second
Fresno
one
what? We are fucking Fresno tourism about single-handedly with this call.
I know.
Hey,
Fresno's going to get
when Fresno speaks come on TV, y'all going to thank him. Y'all going to thank him. Y'all see him on TV.
You have ruined it forever.
I hear we're not allowed there anymore.
Yeah, banned. Like Charles Barkley in San Antonio.
Where's the balloon festival at, Rob? Where's that at, Rob? Where's the balloon festival at?
Albuquerque.
I ain't never gonna forget that shit either.
I've never been to Albuquerque though, so I can't talk bad about it.
I've been to Albuquerque. I've been there before. Ironically, yeah.
I have too.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Albuquerque?
Yep. You know, Albuquerque is pretty cool. I mean, granted, I was a little kid, man, but a lot of, you know, they got a lot of the ruins, a lot of Native American stuff out there. But I
kind of liked Albuquerque.
You know, Yeah, it was really nice. But, yeah. And we traveled to, like, Durango, Colorado. We drove, and, like, at that time, there was, like, no rails. So whenever you're driving the mountains, it's kind of a scary experience, right? You know, you're like, oh, my God, if you make a bad turn, you're just, like, you're dropping, you know. So that was a long time ago.
Try that in
sure.
a 33-foot
so.
Motorhome. That's really scary.
No, thank you. No, thank you. But Albuquerque was pretty cool. I was really impressed with New Mexico. So, you know.
Oh,
no. Anyway, I'm just saying.
All right.
Another trip.
Right. Darren says Pac-12 might be looking at adding the New Mexico Lobos.
Okay.
The Sun Devils. What?
I'm done with this.
All right, guys. Next week, man. Be safe, man. Oh, to the following week, man. We'll be going.
August 17th.
You guys had a private moment. August 17th, gentlemen. Be safe. Happy birthday.
Good night.
Give me some love next week, too, bro. Right.
Fantasy football.
That's
correct, bro. August 18th.
Gotcha. All right, y'all.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.
Cheers.
Later.